We're doing a series that I've entitled, I Am, and I hope that you're beginning to see the bigger picture, because when God said, I am, He said, I am majestic. I am the beginning from the end. That's the title of the message today. I am the Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning to the end. And all things consist in, through this clear understanding that He is the start of everything, and He has finished everything. And it's really already done. Now, we're down here in our little chronological timetable trying to figure this out when God's already seen the beginning from the end. And I'm telling you, when you begin to get a deeper understanding of that concept of God, and that He really has taken your problems, your situations, your trials, He's already finished them. If you really believe that, would that give you some comfort? Sure it would. I think it's the problem between the ears and the heart, right? That we don't, first of all, don't understand it. Then when we hear it, we think, oh, I don't know about that. I ain't never heard that taught. And so there we are. So, but anyway, last week Jesus said, I am the vine. And when He was using this analogy, He said, you are the branches. He said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to produce fruit through us. Fruit is good works. It's bringing glory to God. It's a lack of sinning. It's all the things that we want in the Christian life. And the Holy Spirit wants to do that through us if we'll just quit trying to focus on doing those things, quit sinning, start living the Christian life and all the do's of the Christian life, start focusing on Jesus and abiding in the vine. And we're going to touch on that again because I think it's so important. The fruit will begin to come. The Holy Spirit will begin to work through us. Now, I want you to notice Revelation 1:8. If you look at this verse, clearly Jesus said, and He says it in more than one place, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we go. He said, I am the A to the Z. Did y'all see that? How many knows what the Alpha and Omega is? Raise your hand. Okay, somebody tell me. It's the beginning and end. It's also the first letter of the Greek alphabet, I believe, and the last letter. So that's why I threw in, trying to make it relevant for us today. He said, I am the A to the Z, or the beginning to the end, says the Lord God. Now, I love this part. He said, who is? I don't know why, and that might be a good discussion question, Dan, I didn't add on, but why did He give the present first, and then He said, who was, that's the past, and then who is to come? You know, we think chronologically. So anyway, who is, who was, who is to come? The Almighty. Remember I said when He says, I am the great I am, He's talking about He's Almighty. He's all powerful. He's omnipotent. That means all powerful. So He is the beginning from the end. Now, back in 2009 and 10, right in there, when I started really, God took me on, and you that were in the church at Bethesda, and there's a few of you that were here, were there. I had a major shift in my preaching. It was not received well by everybody. A lot of people it was, and I'm okay with that. It took me a long time to get to where I was in 2010, and I got impatient with people, and I wanted to shake them. It's right here. Just see it. It'll set you free. You're already free, but I just want you to know it. But anyway, and God just helped me just to be patient, and I don't do good with that either. But anyway, I created a visual, and I hope that it'll help you. We're going to have it on the big screen behind me as well as on the little screens. And if you will notice, this is kind of a, if I were to say put Revelation 1:8 in a visual, this is the best I can do, and this falls so short. But you see, God, Holy Spirit, and Jesus, they all are one. They have been in eternity past and eternity future. And so if you look backwards in eternity past, you know, they chose, the three said, let us make man, let us create the world. So they created the world. And of course, Adam blew it, didn't he, on our behalf. The Bible says that through the one, talking about Adam, that a sin curse was placed on mankind. In other words, he disobeyed God. He chose not to follow God's plan. And then, of course, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they didn't say, man, doggone it, what are we going to do now? Do y'all think that he had to scratch his head? I heard Keith say one time, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Did God scratch his head and say, well, we got to come up with a redemption plan now. They messed it up. Created the Eden for them and created this perfect environment. What'd they do? Y'all think God's saying that about you? He already knows you. He's already forgotten your sins, past, present, and future. Can I give a hallelujah to him? All right. When you get that, it's setting you free. All right. Man blew it. The blood sacrifice came. We'll talk about Easter Sunday in depth. Man, of course, was all messed up. We were marred by sin. And then the cross happened. Of course, eternity passed. The cross was already in the mind of God, right? The plan was already in the mind of God. This didn't take him by surprise. It all was fitting right according to plan. He knew what man was going to do. He already had this whole thing figured out. And by the way, your mess up right now that you blew it, you sinned, you caused something come up on you, or something's upon you now that's not your control, God's already seen that too. And he's not worried about it. You are. But he says, you're in me. Am I worried? You need to ask yourself that question. When you become worried about something and you say, oh, I'm in Christ, is Jesus worried about this? Isn't that a ridiculous question? Is Jesus worried? Well, should you be if you're in him? The answer's no. Y'all come on. Okay. All right. The cross reached through eternity past, through eternity future. And as a result of the cross, Christ took all of us, all of humanity's sins, and he took them to the grave. And he buried them once and for all. At the cross, all sins, past, present, and future, were forgiven. Now, in my book, I thought that maybe there was a big eternal tank in the sky that held all of my forgiveness for my sins, and that I had to come one at a time after the cross, which, I'm not 2,000 years old, so I'm clearly after the cross, okay? I thought I had to come to this tank and confess them one at a time to be forgiven. I knew he really forgave them. No, I didn't. I thought I knew, but I didn't know. I was being taught out of two sides of a story. We said we're all forgiven, but yet when we sin and blow it, we run and confess to be forgiven. Do you see any controversy here? You see, he said from the cross, he looked down, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He wasn't just talking to those people that physically nailed him to the cross, those crazy religious Jews that put him there. He was looking at mankind. It's done. It's finished. Paul said, forgive even as you've been forgiven. So if that's not settled, I hope that you'll just grapple with this and you'll get it settled. I'm telling you, it is so freeing to understand when you blow it, God's not mad at you. He's not expecting you to run over here and confess. And I'm not making light of sin. I've been accused of that. Well, you saying it's okay to sin? Paul dealt with the same question. He was teaching the very same thing, and they came to him and said, well, Paul, are you saying that we can just sin now and so that grace may abound even more? He said, God forbid, you're missing the point. It humbles you to know that sin has already been forgiven, so I don't confess to be forgiven. I confess that I'm already forgiven. Big difference. And it helps me get up and quit walking around and beating myself up trying to help God pay for my sins. Many of you think that you beating yourself up and walking around and hammering yourself on the head, I can't get it right, and listening to Satan and listening to others and grieving, if you will, over some kind of time period like purgatory, that you're helping God pay for your sins. Folks, that's idolatry. When you apply something that you think you're doing that God's already done, you're taking the place of God. I don't know who that's for. It just came to my heart. Okay, all sins are paid for and removed. Now, by faith, have we believed it. So, just because God has done forgiven all of mankind doesn't mean that everybody's accepted it. That's what we call being saved, many say, or receiving Christ. But by me receiving Christ doesn't make God now go back and take me and bury me. It's already been done, do you see? That helps me now look at other people a little differently. Now, I want to go back to the verse. Look at this. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord. Now, I did put it in my chronological way I'm thinking, okay? Who was? Jesus is your past. Who is? Jesus is your present. Who is to come? Jesus is your future. Do you see the beginning from the end? I want to take rest and I want to begin to walk in what this means. So the rest of the message is about walking in and or applying the great I am. It's one thing to know that God sees, seen it all. He's already dealt with everything. He's already finished everything. But how do I benefit from that? Don't y'all want to church or teaching or growing in grace to affect you day by day? I don't want to just come on Sunday and say, wow, well, that's good to know. I want it to change my life. Don't you? I want it to affect my life. Help me to walk in who I am. Now, if you've noticed, I have been unveiling the finished work of the cross, but I want us to teach us how to benefit from it. Now, I want you to think with me in the past just for a moment. In the Old Testament, that God required perfection or righteousness before you could come into the Holy of Holies. If you remember, in the Old Testament, the priest had to go through all kind of rituals and cleansing. You remember that in the Old Testament? To make himself clean and pure so he could then walk into the Holy of Holies. Tradition says that in case the priest messed up and he died while he was in there, that they would literally tie a rope to his leg to pull him out. Now, I'm not seeing that in the Bible, but that's just what tradition says. They were not going in, because if you had to be perfect to stand in the Holy of Holies, they looked around at their behavior like you and I do. They said, I'm not going in. Let's tie a rope on his leg. And so anyway, God required righteousness. But then, this is interesting. In the Old Testament, it says, our righteousness, I believe it's in Isaiah, is as filthy rags. How can we ever then come into the presence of God? And here's the part that God knew, and that's part of the law system was given to put rules on us so that we'd break them. Because you see, the more rules you have, the more you're going to mess up, right? I've said this before. You want your children to mess up all the time? Well, just give them 2,000 rules. And I'm telling you, that's not the best way to parent. I know you got to have some rules. I understand that. But I'm just telling you, we need to back off on the rules, because the rules were given to the people of Israel so that they'd mess up even more. Study this out, and you'll see that I'm telling you the truth. Because God loved them so much, he gave them rules because they thought they could do it in and of themselves. He said, I've got to do something to show them they can't do it. And God and Jesus made a covenant, and the Holy Spirit made a covenant with each other on our behalf. So that his righteousness would now become our righteousness. You see, Romans 4:6 says God imputes righteousness. That means he credits righteousness. And by the way, he did this at the cross. There was a great exchange occurred at the cross. My unrighteousness for God's righteousness. Now I just need to understand it and know it and begin to believe it and walk in it. So the Holy Spirit now empowers us. He's witnessing to us that when we blow it and fall, he's convicting us of righteousness. Romans 8:1, now you see, is true. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to move forward with this total forgiveness thing, okay? If you're not there yet, just pretend you are, okay? Just say, okay, preacher, I'm going to, just for this message, so I don't have to talk about this, because I got so much more I want to show you right quick. I'm going to assume you're total forgiven, and you beginning to believe this, apart from you running one at a time and confessing them, okay? All right, let's just pretend. If you don't believe that, just say, okay, I'll pretend for a moment. All right. You see, this foundational truth firmly embedded in your soul, you now can learn to rest or abide in Jesus Christ. If you think that you're condemned when you blow it, and now I got to run over here and confess it to be forgiven, and then I'm okay till I blow it again, now I got to run over here and confess it. You see, you're spending way too much time on focusing on your sin when you need to be focusing on the Savior. You see, you can't abide and rest if you think that you're in and out of God's good favor and out of His graces. You follow me? But when you begin to settle that issue, okay, I'm in Christ, I'm forgiven, apart from me, even when I blow it, and when difficulties come, I don't have to run clean myself up like the Old Testament priest. We're already clean. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Rest is abiding. I want you to see the verse one more time in John 15. John 15, 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, that means remain in me or rest in me, in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, we're already branches. We don't have to work to become a branch. We're already grafted into the vine because Jesus did that at the cross, okay? And as his branches, all we have to do is remain or abide. As I mentioned about the fruit, I've never seen an apple, I've never seen an orange or some kind of fruit hanging on a tree, just shaking and trying to be ripe. It just happens. You see, he's abiding. He's hanging out with Jesus. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's exactly what happened at the cross. Now, by faith, when I believe that, I began to benefit from that, you see. Most Christians don't even know that 2 Corinthians 5:17. Or they don't believe it because they are in and out of God's good graces. They're too busy coming to the altar confessing and trying to get things right when the whole time they've been right. Now, you see, we begin to focus on abiding. Well, John chapter, by the way, you know the truth, and then that knowledge of that truth will set you free. Y'all think that's a Bible verse? It is. Let me show you. John 8:32. Look at this. It says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. By the way, we quote, the truth shall make you free. Technically, if you back up and look at that verse, it says, you will know the truth, the knowledge of the truth. I really believe that's why Peter and Paul, both clearly who taught in the context of the new covenant of grace, they said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. You see, grow in the knowledge of the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're learning and we're going deeper about what the finished work of the cross has done. And the more you believe that, like total forgiveness, like we're already in Christ, we're already resting, abiding, we're already a branch. I don't have to work to become a branch to get myself attached. It's already finished. Now, you see, I can begin to benefit from that understanding and abide in that truth. Now, look at this little thing I put together. It says the secret to walking in the great I am is to keep growing in grace. And if you'll notice, the growing in grace will lead to rest, and then it'll lead to literally walking in the Spirit. I've had people tell me before, say, well, preacher, we just got to teach people how to walk in the Spirit. And their focus is really all on the Spirit, the Spirit, the Spirit. And I'm telling you, I don't think that's right. I think the focus needs to be on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then the walking in the Spirit comes as an overflow. Now, I do believe we got to understand and that the Holy Spirit with it. Paul said a lot about, he said, don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk in your human wisdom, your human mind. Walk in the Spirit. And so, but I want you to think with me about this. This is huge now. Everybody listening. Here we go. God worked 6 days, and then what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Now, is the rest, did the rest come after the work, or did the work come after the rest? It came after the work. Hang with me. Now, this is God. He worked 6 days. He rested on seven. Question. What day did God create man? Sixth day. Now, God created man on the sixth day. What was man's first thing that he was to do? He rested. Sunday's the first day of the week. Think about it. Man's first day, day seven, was a day of rest, a day to enjoy the work of God. I know, y'all gonna have to mull this over. God works, then rest. But God did the work at the cross, so he wants us to rest first and then work. What if you took Sunday like we should, I think, and as we're doing now, and we rest and we grow in grace, and then the Holy Spirit takes us out, and out of the overflow of our rest, out of the overflow of our identity in Christ, we now go out and work from his foundational that he's already done. Do you think the church might have got it messed up somewhat over time? I always thought that we got to work, then we can rest. No, we work out of rest. And I know that's hard to understand, and I've asked the Holy Spirit to keep showing me. I'm starting to get a glimpse of what this means, but I'm asking Him to show you what it means to work from His rest, for as we rest. That's what abiding is all about. I might do a series on this, but Watchman Nee, who a guy from years ago, I think he was Chinese. Does that sound right? I think that he was, and years ago he was getting this understanding way before I was, and he wrote a book called Sit, Walk, Stand in Ephesians, and he wrote it based on Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 is a lot about our identity. I've had to learn to do a lot of sitting and resting for God to teach me and to grow me and mature me. And then in chapters 2 through 5, he talks a lot about, Paul did, about walking. So grow in grace, understand your identity, then begin to walk. And then at the end of Ephesians, he talks about put on the armor of God and take a stand. So when we abide or we rest in the finished work of the cross, we'll begin to walk well and we'll stand for the glory of God, you see. So how well you sit will determine how well you walk and stand. We want to jump over here. Well, all right, over here in Ephesians, it says to love your wives like Christ loved the church. Women like to hear that. And then it says be submissive. But see, we forget about the part over here in Ephesians 1 through 4 and 5 that clearly gives us a foundation of who we are. Then we begin to do some things that we ought to do. But we, in my background, we'd always jump over here to the doing part. And I tell you, we've got to learn to do some sitting. So, did you know that this is a tough process for a person like me? You know why? I'm a results-driven person. I'm a fixer. You know, my wife, she's had to train me, and it still hasn't worked, but I told her to at least remind me, because she'll come to me with a problem, and I see a solution, 1, 2, 3. She said, I'm not wanting you to fix it. I just want you to listen. I said, well, just remind me, because I'm not wired like that. My brain, it jumps to fixing things. That's why this grace message has been tough for a person like me. Because I'm a results-driven person, I've been taught also by the world and by the church that if you do, then God's going to bless you. No, God has blessed me at the cross. Now I do because of what He did. I'm telling you, legalism flips that upside down. Legalism says, no, you got to do before you can expect God to bless you. So therefore, I set my hands to the plow, as the old farmer said, and we popped that mule on the rear and said, go. I've been able to plow a mule when I was a youngster. Most people at my age in the 50s can't say that, but I was blessed to follow my grandpa, who was, I think, right behind me, helping me hold that plow. And I'm thankful I picked a little cotton. I'm thankful for some of those days, and I don't want to go back. Brother Dale, you've done all this, right? I don't want to go back. I kind of like being able to go to the grocery store and just buy that potato instead of plowing it out of the ground like I've been fortunate to do. But anyway, but the point of abiding is living in the overflow of God's grace. Now, let me give you some practical examples. Let's say that I'm fearful about you fill in the blank. What do we got to be fearful about out there? Really nothing, but okay, humor me a second. Health conditions, relational issues, somebody's attacking me. Help me out. What are some other things? Finances. Good, that was a big one. What else? Okay, anything else? What do we fear? I didn't have that in my notes, but that's a good one. All right, what else did I hear? Health. Okay, health issues. Now, what if, just what if, okay? Holy Spirit's asking, just what if you take a verse like Revelation chapter 1 verse 17, who basically preaches this message that I've been talking about. What if you take this message and you begin to apply the great I am to what is causing you fear? Let's see if you think it might change anything. the writer of Revelation, I believe it was John, said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. You see, when you begin to see God for who he is, it will begin to change how you think. It'll change how you begin to see those situations that's causing you fear. He placed his right hand on me. What if we could learn to practice this and understand this? When fear knocks at your door, that you pull up a verse like this in your brain, or your Bible, either one, it'll work. I'm not great at memorizing scripture. I've been taught, you ought to do it, and I agree you should, but I just don't do it much, okay? I just don't. But I know how to find it with my computer. All right. If I don't remember where it is, I can key in a keyword and it'll take me there. But what if I pull up this verse and I'm fearful and I really believe that God is placing his right hand on me? I mean, he's saying this to you. He's putting his hand on you. He's already got his hand on you. You're fearful, and he says, son, I like visuals. Maybe this will be a help. He says, Robert, this is God. Now, I can't bring him peace, but this is God saying, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. Oh, I was dead, but behold, I'm now alive. They thought they could snuff me out by killing me and putting me in a tomb. Yeah, right. I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades, basically the beginning from the end. Now, if you really believed God was putting his hand on you when you become fearful, and really taking it deeper, his hand is already on you all the time. Do you think that condition, that's the problem out there that's causing you the fear, the person, the whatever, health, the finances, the IRS, whatever that is that's causing you fear, and God stood right beside you and put his hand on you, and he said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning from the end of this whole thing. Do you think it would make a difference in how you get up from and walk from there? If it doesn't, your thinker's messed up, right? You see, you're looking at the condition. That's the situation. God's looking from, he wants you to look at the position. Ben, is that the next slide? Maybe we need to jump to that. Can't remember. Wow, I can't believe it. The devil wants you to focus on your condition. God wants you to focus on your position in Christ. You see, that's looking through the lens that God, remember that triangle, God's up here, he's looking down at this beginning and the end. And he's already seen it all worked out. He's already brought glory through every bit of that mess that you all worried about. When difficulties and adversities knock at your door, answer, the great I am is here. What if we start thinking like God? I'm telling you, it'll change your life. This week, I've been battling, this past week, I've been battling a shoulder issue. I don't know if I strained it by doing something with a weird, you know how you can pull something. And I'm still battling it a little bit. It's better. But I have started, I believe God wants us well. I just do. I know not everybody seems to be healed. They've asked for it. I can't believe for you. You believe whatever you want. That's okay. But I'm choosing to believe I'm healthy and whole. And it's already finished. By his stripes, the Bible says we're healed. That's not just about spiritual healing. You study it out by your infirmities. It's talking about physical. But anyway, I've just I take the Holy Spirit and the belief system like medicine. I'll feel it hurt and I'll say, God, and sometimes I'll just lay my hand on it like, God, don't know. I'm pointing it out. God humors me about, hey, we're made in the image of God. He thinks just like we do sometimes. Whoa. Do you see God with being a crazy person and having fun? You need to. That's how some of us are. We're made in the image of God. Anyway, I say, this is this one, Lord. But I lay my hand on it and I'll say, God, I just believe in you that I'm healthy and whole. And it'll be hurting and I'll say, well, preacher, what do you do till it goes away? I take an aspirin or a Aleve or something. It's okay. You say, well, if you really believe God, people will get spiritual on you. They'll say, if you really believe God's going to heal that, you wouldn't be going to the doctor. You wouldn't be going to the medicine. I'm just telling you what I do. You go with your plan. I'm not throwing rocks at you. Here's just what God's teaching me to do. I say, God, and I've been believing him for eyesight. That I'm just believing one day I'm going to take his glasses off. Okay? I just do. If I don't, now here's something I want you to get a hold of. You can get so focused on what you want God to do for you and believe him for. I've seen people get crazy. Well, I don't go to the doctor. Well, if you believe God's going to hit it, you wouldn't go to the doctor. They're so focused on what they want God to do for them, they forget to focus on he himself. But I have chosen to believe God, and I just think I used to pray, well, if it be your will, would you heal me? I've quit doing that. I believe it's his will. Now, well, what about that person that died of cancer and God didn't heal him? I'm just telling you where I'm at. I'm not saying we all got to die of something. I agree. Right? We got to die of something. God can just take us without it being a physical illness too. He just can do that. But in the meantime, I just want to believe God for good. I believe he's a good God. He wants us to be healthy and whole. I'm just believing him for it. I'm okay with you if you want to say, well, if it's God's will, I'm not mad at you. I love you. I'm just telling you where I'm at, okay? That's kind of like forgiveness of sin. I mean, if you want to believe that you still got to run one at a time, I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, I believe that it's already done, and you sort this out. If you and the Holy Spirit talk about something I say, and he leads you to believe something contrary to what I say, go with him. He's the Holy Spirit, I'm not, okay? I'm just telling you from the Bible what I'm seeing and what has helped me, okay? I'm okay. I'm not one of them preachers just going to get all upset and go run cry in the corner if you don't agree with everything I say. I'm okay with that. It may sting a little bit. I get over it. Okay. As the old preacher said, you got a right to be wrong. I really am okay if you grapple with this thing and you come up with something different. I'm okay with that. You ain't going to agree with everything I say, and I'm not going to agree with everything you say. And the body of Christ, we can be okay with that. It's not okay in a lot of churches. The preacher will not let you disagree with him. I'm just telling you, I used to get upset too and think, well, I'm the man of God. Well, you are too, and the woman of God. I'm sorry, y'all got me sidetracked. Okay, for God is the Alpha and Omega, and I'm in him. Now I can walk and apply a verse like Philippians 4:6. Look at this. Y'all ever have trouble with this one? Be anxious for nothing. You that say you don't have trouble, you're telling a story. But we can apply this if we get the bigger picture of God has got this thing all worked out. And he's laying his hand on you saying, son, don't be afraid. Daughter, don't be afraid. It's okay. It's all right. What can man do to you? We're fearful about what people are going to say. We're fearful about what people are going to do. And God said, if I'm for you, and he, by the way, if you hadn't got this settled also, he is for you, then get it settled. He is for you. Then he said, if I'm for you, who can be against you? Wow. That's a good word, preacher. Amen. I just amen myself when y'all don't do enough of it. All right. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. By the way, this isn't groveling and pleading with God to do it. I believe, look, he even says how to pray with thanksgiving. Pray and thank him that it's finished, that it's done, it's already worked out. Thank you that I'm healed, even though I don't feel healed sometimes. Do you see? We have a hard time. We want to thank him for what we see. Thank him for what he's already done from the Alpha and Omega standpoint. This is helping me. I don't know if it's helping you. Remind yourself, he's the vine. I'm the branch. Now watch this closely. I'm about finished. Hang with me. I got sidetracked today. All right, now watch this. As the sap flows through the vine, remember how the sap flows through to the branches? Who's the branch? If you're a branch, raise your hand. I literally am a branch, but I've grown to be a river. Sorry. As the sap flows through the vine to the branches, the sap of the Holy Spirit is flowing to that condition that you're worried about. But now watch this. Your brain, though, doesn't need to be focused on the condition. It needs to be focused on the position and let the Holy Spirit take care of the condition, the problem, the situation. Y'all need to study that one out. Just think on that a little bit. As the sap flows from the vine to the branches, the sap is flowing to the condition. He's flowing to this old shoulder that's bothering me right now. I may not see it done yet. It's not in my time. God never works on my timetable. I don't know if y'all figured that out. But my head is staying focused on my position, the finished work. Your prayers needs to be thanking God for the finished work. Not, oh Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this mess? You see, that's on the condition. Thank God for the position. Folks, we're in Christ. Question. Is there any financial lack in Jesus? The Bible says He owns it all. Is there any physical illness in Jesus today as He sits in heaven? Is there any anxiety about a relationship gone wrong? Adam, is Jesus worried about an ungrateful customer who kind of just keeps sticking the knife in and twisting it? You know, we have customers like that sometimes. I know y'all are shocked at that. What is your problem? All right, ask this question. Does Jesus have a problem with you call it out? The answer is no, He doesn't. Question, if we're in Christ, then do we really have a problem? I ran across something on Facebook and I shared it. Some of you liked it and saw it. I want you to see this right now. Here's the Alpha and Omega thinking, and it's just interesting that I ran across this week. Isn't it easy to spot a yellow car when you're always thinking of a yellow car? I have bought a vehicle. It happens every time I buy one. The latest one, I bought a used Nissan Red Titan pickup truck. And it's like I see Nissan Titan pickup. I said, man, there's a bunch of these out on the street. Question, were they there the whole time? Okay. Isn't it easy to spot opportunity when you're always thinking of opportunity? It's easy to spot reasons to be mad when you're always thinking of being mad also. That's the opposite effect. You become what you constantly think about. Therefore, watch yourself. In other words, guard your minds. Paul says, take those negative thoughts captive. And I'm telling you, God's favor is behind the opportunity. God's favor is all about taking what's causing you fear. And He says, son, don't be afraid. Look through the eyes of the big picture. I know you can't see it yet, but trust me. Just trust me. I've got this thing all sorted out. Don't allow negative thoughts to guide your life. Thank God for His favor that He's right there. You see, then much fruit will begin to come forth. Because as you're abiding in the vine, or the branch, or the trunk, if you will, then the fruit will flow from your life as a result of you abiding. And part of abiding is this right here. Is believing God for good. Believing that He loves you. That you're already in Christ. Apart from your mess ups. Apart from you can't seem to get it right. Father, You said, I am. And God, I just choose to believe it first of all. And I choose to receive it. And I'm going to make a daily decision to walk in. In Your precious Son, the vine, the Alpha and Omega, the shield, all that we've talked about, and even more. His name we pray. Amen.